Welcome
to Master the Start, a podcast for young professionals where we interview business experts on how you can master the start of your life in business.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the 35th episode of Master the Start podcast, presented by GoMahi.com. I'm your new producer, Ryan Reeves, and we have an awesome show coming up for you. Today, Bobby interviews Alicia Waldner. Most 23-year-olds have crumpled up receipts stuffed in their wallets, but Alicia Waldner keeps a thick stack of business cards. While other 20-somethings live in leggings and oversized t-shirts on the weekends, you'll never catch Waldner wearing anything other than business casual. For Waldner, every moment is an opportunity. It's because of this mindset that at age 23, she's been able to start her own company, Adventure Marketing LLC. The company is not only profitable, but also boasts 14 clients and a mighty team of 6 full-time employees and contractors. And trust me, this is only the beginning of what we talk about in this week's episode. So settle in. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, iHeart, or Google Play. Also, please comment on your thoughts about the show. It could be good or bad. We just want to hear your feedback. Most importantly, enjoy this week's episode of Master the Start.
Alicia, thank you for being on the show. Such an honor to have you on. Let's just start out with who you are and what is one thing you enjoy doing that most people might not know about or expect from you.
Yeah, so first I want to say thank you so much for having me here today. I'm so honored to be here and be a part of this, especially talking to other inspiring entrepreneurs or other entrepreneurs. I mean, this is just my type of people. So I'm glad to be speaking in with you and everybody else that we are talking to today. A little bit about myself. For those that don't know me, I am 23 years old. I currently live in Tampa. I grew up in Middletown, Connecticut. Big difference there. Connecticut, there is snow. And Florida, there is just pure warmth all year long. So you can just kind of see why I decided to move. But aside from that, when I moved to Tampa, my goal was to, and it was for the University of Tampa, after going to a state school for a year, I decided to make that investment and go to a private school that was, you know, UT was my dream school. And although it was a lot of money, I realized, like, you know, I didn't want to live with what if. And so I went to Wells Fargo, got a massive loan, and made it happen. And that was the best decision I ever made, because if I didn't do that and I didn't make that jump for myself, I wouldn't be in the position that I am in today. But anyway, so when I moved down here, I knew that I was spending a lot of money and I was taking a big risk. So in order to mitigate that risk, I had to put my efforts to where they were supposed to be for the cost that I'm taking to do this. So anyway, when I came down here, I had the goal of finding an internship that was hopefully going to lead to a job when I graduated. And I'm thankful that after 4 months of being down here that I was able to do that. So I worked, my background is I worked at a medical marketing firm for 2.5 years. And that was all intern. 6 months of it wasn't paid. And then after 6 months, I got offered a payment and I was so shocked. I didn't even think they'd ever pay me, just because I felt like I wasn't worthy enough of being paid, not because of myself personally, but just because everybody else around me was far more advanced. But anyway, so I was there for 2.5 years and cut straight to the point, because I'm sure we'll get into more of this later. A week before I graduated, they cut our department and I was left with no job when I was expected and signed to go on salary. And, you know, I'm thinking I did it all right, right? Like I stayed with one company and I was staying with that one company and that's all that I knew. But reality hit me really quick, and it made me realize that I didn't want someone to tell me whether I was going to have a job tomorrow or not. And that if I really wanted true job security, the only way that I can secure that bag was if I was to create my job myself, which really led to the fire of Adventure Marketing, which is what I am a co-founder of currently. We are a full-service digital marketing company doing website design, video, and SEO. Those are the things that we're really niching towards. We are roughly 2.5 years old, well, about to be 2 years on paper. But Zach and I, my business partner, I've been doing it for about 2.5 years. And yeah, we're growing. We're a team of 7. And I know this sounds magical, but I'm sure we're going to get into all the nit and grit in a few minutes.
Yeah, exactly. That is a good intro right there. Good intro to who you are. But let's start with the internship. So you kind of already talked about how it fueled your entrepreneurial fire. But, you know, I don't think I've ever heard anyone say that they got into entrepreneurship because they wanted to have control over their job security. Like, that's just a huge risk. And how exactly, I mean, what were you feeling, number one, after you were cut? Because that had to be just super scary or confusing. Mm-hmm. And how long did it take you to actually decide to go the entrepreneurial route?
Yeah, great question. So before, a little bit backpedaling, before, I always kind of had the idea that I did want to do something entrepreneurial. I just thought it was going to be in 10 years after I had all this experience to be able to prove myself, and then I can convince other companies and go elsewhere with my own marketing agency. So that was always on my mind. But did I think at 21 that was going to start happening? No. And what I felt at that time was, I felt, you know, backstabbed. I felt, you know, like, you know, just really, truly that someone just really came at me and stabbed me. And, you know, cause I gave my all to this company, and that's all that I ever saw. And that's all that I knew. And, you know, confusing for sure was right. It was like, you know, I didn't do anything wrong, and neither did anybody in my department. We were actually, our numbers were hitting higher than they ever have the last 3 months. We were making unbelievable, you know, results, and, you know, the sales were going up. Everything seemed to be positive. So it was extremely confusing for not only myself, but everyone around us. Like, why were they to cut us? But that's one of the things that goes to show that you never know what's happening internally. There are so many different directions and verticals that a CEO or the investors or whoever those decision makers are making, and you can never have control of that. And even like how amazing you're performing, that can always change based off of decisions that they have to make to better their company or the pivots they're going to make. And I realized that because we were doing such good things, and it still didn't matter. So going to the job security, I realized that even if I'm doing a stellar job for someone, that still may not mean that I'm going to have a job with them for the rest of my life, if that's what I wanted. And that's why I realized, you know, I don't want to live with this. And I personally watched my dad go in and out of a job throughout my childhood. He was in construction, and obviously weather was a big thing that was always, oh, you know, I'm going to go to work today. I'm not. But also too, you know, if the company was able to pick up contracts, and if they weren't, then he got laid off. And that always scared me. So this fear has always been in the back of my mind. And when I saw it happen, and it happened at a moment where I never thought it could, because everything was going good, was when really I was like, I want to make sure that I can secure this, and that regardless of what anyone else says or decision someone makes, I'm still going to have a job at the end of the day.
Yeah, that's a fair way to look at it. That is for sure. So after the internship, did you start A to Z Marketing? Was that the next thing?
Yep. So, well, a little bit different. So backpedaling a little bit more, as I mentioned before, when I was at that internship, I did want to start pursuing my own thing. And Zach and I, actually, my business partner, we started it when we were still in school. So I was a junior in college, and he was a sophomore. I was a junior heading to my senior year. That's what it was. And it failed. We did it for about a month. We got one client. It was a hairdressing salon or hair salon, and it failed. You know, a lot, I would say, because of the client we chose to work with just wasn't the best fit, but also we had a lot to learn. I had no idea how to manage, you know, an actual company. I had no idea how to approach a client, deal with situations. I mean, it was a whole learning curve. And so from there, Zach and I kind of, I guess you can say, broke up, and I started learning about freelance, and I realized, hey, I can do this on my own. So I was working on some freelance projects, building up some of my clients personally. And so was Zach with what he did. And then eventually we came back together, you know, after I was let go and decided we really need to push this. And that's when it became Medventure.
Wow. So I'm kind of surprised, I guess, as an entrepreneur myself, that you considered it a failure or you guys quit after one client in one month.
Yep. And you know, in that, I mean, 100%, I look back at it and I'm like, well, that's the reason why people fail, right? Like they didn't keep going. And that's what we did. We just stopped. We saw it as, oh, no, you know, we took this one failure and made up all these excuses. And if that's how you're going to be, you're never going to make it as being an entrepreneur. I mean, even today, right before this call, I actually was in a meeting and I had a meeting that I never wanted to have in my life with one of our employees, and something that really shocked me personally. But, you know, even though it's the biggest bump that I would say Adventure is going through currently, and probably the biggest bump for myself entrepreneur wise, I can just say, hey, you know what? Close the doors. We're done. But that's not how it works. You know, this is just another bump. It's exactly what I said to my entrepreneur, my business partner, is that as an entrepreneur, you have to look at these bumps and think, okay, how am I going to get over it? You can't dwell on, you know, how did this happen? Why did this happen? It's like, all right, how are we going to fix this? And how are we going to recover?
Yeah, that's so true. But what actually made you think that you and Zach could go into business again, especially after such a quick failure?
Yeah, exactly. So what made us decide it? And I think it was a lot of us kind of doing it on our own and making our own mistakes, learning throughout our own small freelance businesses, and then realizing how we succeed and capitalizing on those and getting our own base of clients where we felt secure. And what we did was we were a powerhouse and we just brought those clients together. So we already both built up a foundation where before we were, you know, we just had a land and we were trying to put the foundation together. We're here. We both secured the land and now we built our houses together.
Gotcha. So that makes a lot of sense. Now I need to know, what did you do differently when you were freelancing that allowed you to actually master marketing in some sense before moving forward with Adventure?
Yeah. So great question. Actually, nobody has ever asked me that. And that is such a great, great way to look at it. So really one thing is learning how to really deal with people, and that at the end of the day, you know, especially as you're starting, you're probably working with smaller companies. You're not really working in the medium size big or the big dogs that have been around for a while. And at the end of the day, and still even when you work with the bigger companies, you're working with people at the end of the day. And if you can make people happy, then you could succeed in your business. And in that same rate too, you are working with people, everyone's human, and you have to know that, you know, they may sometimes act out of character. And that's what happened with our first round with our client, where I said it wasn't a best fit because the personal life was getting in with the business on their end. And it was just like, this shouldn't affect us. But even as we move forward with Adventure, even my freelance, I realized that personal life was something almost I had to deal with too. And I'm not talking about my personal life, I'm talking about theirs, because that's just how small businesses work. So it's being able to get through that and realize that, you know, although I want to be with the big dogs and not have to deal with these things that small companies are giving me to deal with, I'm going to have to get through this and, you know, suck it up for now so I can move to the next step. And that's really, honestly, I would say like the biggest difference is just realizing that you're going to have to work small and you can't expect it to be everything that you dreamed of it to be in the beginning.
Yeah. And I think that's a good transition because I think about everyone who wants to start a company, anyone that's never started one before, they think they're going to make it big in the first couple months. And I think it'd be kind of nice for all of our listeners to hear kind of what happened to you at the beginning of Adventure. Were you just all in? Were you working a part-time job? Like, how were you staying afloat? And how did life kind of look at that point?
No, I think that's a great question. And it would be so nice to say, oh, yeah, we started the company and it just was booming. And that it was just our income from the beginning. And it just, you know, we lived really easily. But that's not the case at all. No, it 100% was a side hustle for us. So as I mentioned, I lost my job and I was trying to find another job, struggled, and I finally found a job doing what I thought was what I love, marketing, but it ended up not being that at all. It was not good. I won't even bother going into detail, but I was basically micromanaged, did not like I couldn't stand going to work, and I love working, so this is the first time in my life I actually dreaded driving to work. But what it was a side hustle. So if you, my routine is I woke up at 4 a.m. every single morning, work till 7 a.m. on adventure, and then I went to work. I had an hour drive, and I had to be there at 8 a.m., so I left at 7, was at work by 8 a.m., worked till 1 o'clock, did my hour lunch break. My hour lunch break was always to work on adventure. So I went, there was a Starbucks across the street. I went to Starbucks, worked on adventure, came back, grinded to work, left at 5 o'clock on the dot because, God, I couldn't wait to get out of there. Drove home, maybe went to the gym, and then came back at 8:30 and then was working till at least 10, 10:30 at night, and then repeated. It was a crazy, insane process. It didn't stop. And then on the weekends, that's all I saw. So I took a lot of sacrifices with friends, with, you know, just regular day-to-day life, putting the business first before anything.
Yeah. And I'm so happy you touched on that because, gosh, people that are at the start of their career and they really want to make it big, I don't think a lot of them understand how much has to be sacrificed. And, you know, for you, even 2.5 years in, I'm sure your day doesn't look that different from what it used to.
No, no, not at all. I mean, I'm sure it's reflected on my stories often. Work never stops. It's a 24/7 job. But it, you know, it's now I'm, it's doing something I love, right? So it's not like before where I'd like squeeze it in with a bunch of stuff I couldn't stand. Now I get to solely focus on what truly makes me happy. And because of that, it doesn't even feel like I'm working. So yeah, my schedule now is no different, than what it was. I mean, I'm working 24/7, the most I've ever worked in my life the last 2.5 years. Even, you know, more than when I was working those crazy hours with the other job as this was a side hustle. But the biggest difference is the fact that this time, yes, I'm working more, but I'm working more towards something that I love and that I'm truly passionate about. So it doesn't feel like work. And I know we hear that all the time, but, you know, I really want to put an emphasis on it because just as I was telling you all, you know, what my situation was when I was a side hustle, I said, oh, I woke up at 4 a.m., 7 a.m., I was here, 1 p.m., I was here. It was dreadful. And even when just telling you that process, you know, my heart is like beating like crazy because I'm like, oh my God, this is such a dreadful time of my life. I mean, it was tiring. I had to make crazy sacrifices. Where now, you know, adventure is all I see. And because of that, I'm just working because I just love doing it. But those hours have to be put in order for this to happen. And it's still not easy now. I mean, yes, working all the time is great. But as we mentioned, and as I mentioned before, there's always things that come up and you just have to learn how to recover. But when you're doing what you love, there's nothing like it.
Yeah. Life gets real easy when you do something that you love.
Yes.
Did I see that you guys just moved into a new office?
So yes. We're in the process. So we've been very, very thankful, and this has helped our overhead and our growth so much. We have been at an incubator space at the University of Tampa. We are both graduates from there. And at first, Zach is a year younger than me, so we were in the student program when he was still in school. We were allowed to still be in the student program. So we were in there, and then when he graduated, we moved to the incubator space, which is a free space. We get free desks. No overhead whatsoever. We can have our whole team there. Beautiful building, great conference rooms. But in August, we are officially kicked out because it's only a year program. So, and now by August, we have to find a space, and we did just find a space. We're finishing on signing the lease for it, but we're so excited. It's in a great location. And now we finally have like an actual home for adventure, which I never thought I'd not say I never thought I'd see the day, but I just never knew when. And I can't believe it's here. And I'm pinching myself like, is this real life?
That's awesome. Good for you. So I want to take a quick step back. And you brought up Zach. And I kind of want to know how you guys divided up your skills at the beginning and what Zach did really well and what you do really well and how you guys optimize that.
Yeah. So great question. So we always say that we are the dream team. And the reason why is because everything I am not good at, he is good at. and vice versa. We complement each other so well, and I don't think I can name anyone else in the world that I've met that I feel that I can do this with. Not saying never, but, you know, especially for what we're doing, is just because we really have those checks and balances made out for each other and what we're doing. And to go even more into detail, I just from a service for what we provide service wise, I was on the web development side and the SEO side. And when I was building these websites and doing optimization for clients, I didn't really have any creative that I can put into these things. And especially with websites, creative is huge. I was stealing stock images online, and I'd happily admit to it. But where he is the creative, so he'd do all the photography and videography. So it's how we kind of started, was a photo and video company, or excuse me, a photo and website company. And then we expanded to the services that we are today. But even to more into detail, we are very similar as fact that we are very, very liked people and that we can talk to anybody and everybody. But how we divided things up was really just through, hey, you know, I have a lead for this service. You take them and close them. I have a lead for the creative, so Zach would take them. So it's kind of how we divided up, and it's a lot of what we do now, but even more so now that we aren't really executing on these things anymore and we're just business development. Zach and I both are working currently on obviously growing the business within both of our departments, but also strategizing, you know, for the future and really focusing on sales. And that's really what Zach and I are focused on. And now I'm focused on growing us on a national level. And just getting brand exposure through doing a lot of speaking engagements, where he's kind of on the back end, you know, pulling people through his network locally and really keeping our presence strong within Tampa.
Cool. That's super cool. I'm curious about your speaking engagements. So what are you doing for speaking? And are you going all over the place in speaking, just specifically on marketing? What is your topic?
So topics are always different depending on, you know, who approaches me. Right now, all of my speaking engagements have been brought to me, which is really cool. I know I'll just get an email and it's like, oh, we want you to speak. And I'm like, great. I love doing it. And the reason why I do it is because I love like inspiring people and showing people that there's no difference between myself and them. And, you know, specifically colleges, because I relate to them. One, because I graduated college 2 years ago and I walked out of college 3 months after with my own business and went full time with it. 4 months after. But so they're able to relate to me and see, wow, they can do it too. But where I've been speaking has been all over. In the beginning, it was a lot at University of Tampa, but now I spoke at USF, Xavier University in Cincinnati, a entrepreneur conference in Missouri, you know, just kind of all over. And then a lot of smaller events here in Tampa I speak at as well. The biggest event in Tampa I've spoken at was at the Synapse Summit, which is a tech innovation summit, which was a little out of my space, but I was so honored to be there in front of, you know, really credible big business people.
That's awesome. That's really awesome.
Thank you.
I think that might be a good transition into your own social media.
Perfect.
And I'm super, super fascinated because this is kind of a new thing, I think, in business. Mm-hmm. So, number one, how do you consume media, considering not only are you doing it for yourself, that's also your profession? And why is your interaction on social media so important? And how do you actually make the time? Because I know you're packed with so much stuff, yet you're posting all the time.
Yeah, no. I'm glad it's kind of cool that you're making, you know, a point on that. So yeah, my personal brand is really how I've been able, and I'm going to truthfully say, be able to grow my side of the business, or just, you know, the business in general. I decided 2.5 years ago, that I wanted to be known as this young entrepreneur hustler that helps inspires other people along the road. And, although at first, when I first did it, people were really like, oh, you're starting a marketing company. Like, you don't even know, you haven't even had real experience. Like, you just graduated, all this backlash. And I didn't even know. And I still was learning, you know, I'm still learning right now. There's no difference, but, I just knew that that's how I wanted people to look at me, and I wanted to be able to show people that they can too. So I started, you know, transitioning my Instagram over to this young professional. And because of that, people see how much I'm working and how hard I'm hustling that they're willing to do business with me. And now I attained my goal and I have big business men and women that are following me, that are reaching out and connecting me with people or within their own company. And it's how I've been able to drive revenue. And that's the key on how I've been able to grow us nationally, is because I have been able to build up that following, nothing crazy. And I'm not, I wouldn't say I'm Insta famous by any means or even close to it. But I'd be able to build up the right following so I can get those high level CEOs to follow me to want to do work with my company. And that's how we've been growing nationally, like I said. But in addition, how I've been able to find the time has been a struggle for sure, because as we know with entrepreneurship, we're doing 50 million things and we never know what's going to happen. But it's something I realized I had to make time for, because this is where I'm noticing us get more business exposure, brand exposure, and where we're actually getting leads through. So because of that, I'm like, this is no longer just a fun platform. This is a serious, brand identity for not only myself, but my company. And if I keep pushing it, my company's going to keep pushing and growing too.
Yeah. So how did you find or create that right community? Because, I mean, you just kind of said, you're not Insta famous, or you wouldn't say you are. I mean, some people might think so in comparison, but you're able to leverage that smaller following to create that level of business, which is incredible. So how did you create that? And I guess one thing on top of that is, what advice would you actually give to young listeners on how they could brand themselves, or if they should?
Yeah, great question. So the biggest thing on how I built up this following, I would say, is consistency. Always showing up and showing like what I'm doing, because with entrepreneurship, our days are crazy. Like, in the fact that I feel, not that I'm the first person to do this, I'm sure there's other people out there that kind of do something similar, but I'm kind of showing you as much as I can every step of the way of how insane entrepreneurship is. And, I really wish I can come on to my Instagram and say all the horror that really happens. I mean, if it was morally right, I would, because I would love to share that stuff in real time. I mean, especially what just happened, 2 hours ago. I wish I can shout it on the rooftops and show everybody already what I learned out of it. But just that consistency and going to what I'm just saying now is just being real and showing that raw, like, I'm not out here rolling in millions and millions of dollars of dough. I am out here pushing every day to grow my company so I can have a team of people that can love what they do and feel safe where they do and feel that they have job security. And that's what drives me at the end of the day. And I think me showing that on social media and showing my struggles, admitting to my failures, allows people to be able to connect with me and realize I'm not, you're just everyday influencer or everyday business person who's acting like there's something that they're not. Like, I'm showing you everything that's happening and I'm being as transparent and real about it as I can. And another question you asked was advice I would give to young listeners. And the best advice I'd give you, and this first thing I almost like bite my tongue when I say it, because I always cringe when people would tell me, but anything you put out there on social can come back and haunt you. But anything you put out there in social that is showing you in a positive way can come back and it can really help you. And that's what I've noticed. And I would highly recommend that if there is some way that you want people to view you at the end of the day, if there's some level of respect you want to get from others, show it on your social media. Present yourself as that person, and really, honestly, only that person, until you get that brand identity. And I'm not telling you that you not to do something, but just note that if you want a certain level of respect, you're going to have to work for it, and you're going to have to show people that you're worth that high level of respect and just outlook.
For sure. And I just want to touch on it one more time quick for everyone. Just understand that it isn't something that you become instantly famous. Like, yeah, it doesn't take a month or 2 months and you explode. Like, she's been doing it for 2 years, and mm-hmm. she's starting to see the benefit now. And she's been consistent over and over and over again. So don't quit after a month or 2 months. It's a long-term play.
And yeah. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
No. I was just going to say, yeah. I mean, and the biggest thing is do not let the other noise around you stop you from being pursued or pursuing what you want. I mean, this is in business and in your dreams, but this is also in social too. I think especially too, you know, I'm glad you're bringing this up, Bobby, because social people can tear people apart on this now. And I would say, I guess the correct terminology nowadays is being called out. And I had people that called me out and would DM me like, you haven't even been in business long enough to give this advice or to say this stuff. Like, you know, your business didn't even scale. You don't even have an employee yet. I got a lot of backlash when I was first starting. But I fought through it and I didn't allow what other people said about me or said to me to stop me from doing what I wanted to do and being known as what I want to be known as.
That's so awesome. Where is adventure marketing now? And where do you see it going? And I know you already kind of touched on it, but I want to start actually diving into adventure marketing and kind of figuring out what you guys do good and what you believe you can do better. So let's just start with where you guys are at and where you want to go.
Love it. So I'm going to go really quick so it makes sense to everybody where we were. So we were a full service digital marketing company. And actually when we started this, that's what I said, because that's what I'm used to saying. And what I mean by that is we do website, SEO, video, photo, graphic design, social media, branding, consulting, everything under the sun. And now, just 3 weeks ago, we decided that that's no longer what we want to do and that we are actually coming back in with our services and we're only focusing on website design, SEO, and video. And everything else we're actually turning away, which is scary to say because you never want to turn away business. But that's where adventure has been growing the most. And that's where, you know, revenue has been growing and what we're truly good at, to go to your question. And, you know, it's the reason why we've been able to grow. It's the reason why people are coming to us. So we're putting an emphasis on that. We actually are splitting up. And I know I mentioned before that I have my department and Zach has his, but we never really defined to the world or branded to the world that we have these two different apartments. So what it's actually called, and it's exciting to say, we're slowly starting to say it, but we have now Adventure, the web lab, and we also have Adventure Creative Studio. And you'll see within the next month and a half, those that different branding in a sense on our website. It's still under Adventure and we always will be Adventure, but we're separating it out so people know that those are the two departments that we're really stellar at and trying to grow within. And within the next year, I think you asked, where I think we're going to be at, right now we are a team of six. I can imagine within the next year, we are at least at 8 or 9. I think that, like I just mentioned, website and SEO and video is really going to explode. In addition to adding on something that we're in the works of right now, which is video lead generation, which is basically us showing people that, you know, their ROI on investing in video with us, in addition to running the whole campaign and around the ads and actually doing the ads themselves and providing data back to the client and showing why they need to keep investing in us because we're bringing in X amount of leads through our incredible video creation.
For sure. And you definitely just kind of brought this up, but how do you think marketing then is really changing? And I think you just hit the topic, but what do you believe companies, I mean, whether they're big or small, let's just go with young companies at the moment, because it's kind of the master of the start. What do you think they should be doing to, I don't know, stay ahead or stay up to date with the trends?
Yeah. So definitely as a smaller company, video can be expensive and, you know, obviously, you know, everyone wants video, but it's expensive. And I definitely think that to stay up with trends, it's important to make sure that regardless of the dollar amount that you have to invest, that you are finding a way to capitalize on some type of video, because it's extremely important. People's attention to time span is really going down more and more, you know, every second. And I think just quality content is going to be key. And, you know, if it's not video, it's going to be imagery, and the imageries have to be straight to the point and clear. So if you're going to invest in anything, really investing in that, because if you are to run an ad or, you know, go try to put yourself out there and your content isn't speaking to the level of the type of clients you are trying to get, then you're going to get pushed away. And I think really putting emphasis on your quality of content is going to be big and how you're going to stay ahead. And, you know, video is really, and I'm going to push video the way things are going. And even with Facebook right now, I mean, the trackings and the back ends of Facebook and Facebook Manager with video is unreal. You can basically stalk someone on the seconds that they've watched a video and determine how much you're going to stalk them, you know, in the nicest way, I'm saying in the worst way possible, stalking, but retarget them is the correct marketing term to say, but retarget them, depending on how far they've watched. And it's only going to get even crazier, I think, with the analytics, and the amount of retargeting you can do. So that's really where I see it going.
Cool. Very cool. And I agree with you, especially since Mark Zuckerberg said recently that they're going to pour billions into making Facebook a video site. That's going to be a game changer.
Yeah, it is going to be a game changer. So I think everyone's got to be on that trend. And, you know, there is for sure, for those that are starters, ways to do it in-house. There is ways to do it in-house. You know, you have to learn about it. There's blogs out there. But there's a way to keep it inside until you're ready to outsource to or get someone on your team that can really go all in.
Yeah. So with all the marketing companies out there today, and there are so many, whether they're just one person shows or enormous firms, you guys are clearly doing something right. Therefore, what do you think a lot of your competitors or the people that are just entering the field are doing wrong? What do you think they're doing wrong?
What is our competitors doing wrong, you asked?
Just in general, what do you think marketers are doing wrong? Or what don't they really understand about how the industry's changing and how they should be marketing for clients?
Yeah, for sure. So depending on the type of marketing, if you're a freelancer, if you're a company, I think one of the biggest things that I've seen and mistakes that I've seen that truly hurt my heart too is people are always just wanting more business. They see dollar signs. So they're going to, even as marketers, sell whatever they do on that person, whether it's right for their industry or not. And I think really understanding that person, or if you're trying to market your company, really understanding your industry and where your target's at, we take a long time to really understand that and get to know that before pushing any services. You know, there has been times where, you know, everyone says SEO, and I'm going to say, yeah, it's not bad to have your website optimized. I will never say that. But if your clients aren't the type of clients to be searching on search engines or reading blogs about what your service, then that's not going to be valuable to you. But if they're going on YouTube and they're looking up videos on your service, then that's where you need to be allocating your money. And I think that a lot of marketers and a lot of people that when we start working with them, they tell us what their past company or freelance worker was doing for them. And it's just like, that doesn't make sense for your industry and your target. And I think that's where people get a negative perception of marketing companies and marketing in general, because of these people just kind of taking advantage of others that don't know marketing and strategy. And just saying, you know, well, I do PPC, so, you know, you got to be running PPC ads, you know, because I'm a pay-per-click person. I can make you a lot of money. But that's not always right for every industry. Actually, a lot of our clients aren't even doing PPC because they don't have to be doing PPC. You know, there's so many other ways you can market. So to keep it short, because I can go on a rant about this because it actually hurts my heart, is I don't think people are really putting their clients first, or they're not, if it's not that, and that's really what they think that they're doing in their heart, they're not being open-minded to, hey, maybe this person really doesn't need what I'm really good at. And maybe I should be ethical and send them somewhere else, to somewhere where I know that they'll be in good hands and they'll actually see a strong ROI.
That was my favorite answer to this point. For sure. Cause client first always is so important. And the fact that you just brought up, like, it's not about the money. It's about the value add. Like, you're in it to help people, whether it's through marketing or if you're serving in a third world country. We're all here to help people.
Yeah.
And that's where you will explode as a business. for sure. Yep.
Exactly.
So I want to get into reading really quick, because I heard a hot rumor that you love to read. / I saw it on your Instagram, and you actually started a book, Good to Great, and I saw you started, and I was like, well, I guess I could use another book, so I started it as well.
No way!
Yep. So, I have to ask, what is your favorite book, and why would you recommend it to someone that's entering the business world?
Yeah, so I have to be completely honest. I do love to read, but this book that I'm reading right now is by far the best, Good to Great. There's a few others that I highly recommend, and I'll mention those in 1 second. This one, I think, especially for people that are trying to actually grow the business and see from a bird's level eye view on, you know, the strategies and implementations that it takes for a true CEO to be able to scale from, you know, a decent business or no business at all to an amazing business is just fascinating. I'm getting close to halfway, and there's so many things that I learned about myself that I could be doing better, and just overall business growth that I'm kind of like mind blown about. And just how these people and this, you know, like he said, he basically said he's creating a physics laws on the success for business, because, you know, as we know, that's always changing, and as we mentioned, trends are always changing, which makes sense, right? But having these baselines and understanding the fundamentals is huge, and I'm learning so much. So that book, I'm just going to go off and say 100% recommend. Another one that I recommend, and this one opened my eyes kind of more financially. Because I think that people are so quick that are excited, that make a few bucks either first year to spend or to not invest it in the right way, that I think any business person, and hence why I'm going tomorrow to an asset conference to learn how to better, you know, my own financials and as well as adventures. But it's called The Millionaire Next Door. And this book teaches you real facts on millionaires, because anybody that's an entrepreneur, right? And I'm sure all my people listening want to be millionaires. I mean, that's all of our dream, right? We want to make a lot of money. But if we're not understanding what to do with that money and not understanding what true millionaires think like, then we're going to fail as a millionaire. And to me, my goal is, you know, I want to make enough money where I don't have to worry if something was to happen with my job, my company that I'm with at the time, and I'll be good for the rest of my life. That to me is wealth. And that's really what this book expresses. And I think that it's important for people to know, just so they know how to have a better outlook on life, how to save and be prepared, you know, if something was to happen.
Solid. I'm going to have to read that book now. Darn it.
It's so good. It opened my eyes so much, and it's really mind-blowing with the facts. You know, you think these people are millionaires by looking at them, but the issue is they can't go 6 months without working because they can't keep up with their lifestyle. So it's crazy.
So my question here is just randomly came to my head, and you don't need to answer it, or I don't hope you don't take offense to it at all.
No, that's fine.
But I was just thinking about how both of us are super young, and we're both dealing with large clients. Mm-hmm. And I've had this thing recently where I've been thinking about when I'm in a client meeting and I'm speaking, I always think to myself, gosh, I feel like I know nothing compared to these individuals I'm talking to. And sometimes I leave meetings going, I don't even think I understood that last 10 minutes of that meeting, because it was in a completely different language than I even could comprehend. And I'm just curious, does that happen to you at all as a young entrepreneur? Because you have to be learning so much on the fly.
Oh, God, yeah. So, great question to bring up. Oh, my God. So there is so many times I go into meetings and I'm like, you know, I hate to say fake it till you make it, but I'm like kind of going through the motions. And before, I would just go with them and I'd just be like, okay, I'll figure it out after, you know, I'll learn it after. now I'm not afraid to ask. So I literally, if I do not understand something that client is saying, I ask right on the spot. Because for me, it's so much easier and better to be transparent, even if I may look, you know, not the brightest in the room at that moment. I would rather ask and get my question answered and understand so I can best serve the client than fake it till I make it, shake my head, walk away, and walk away and going online trying to figure it out. And I'm just super confused. And then even worse, having to call them again after the meeting, not understanding, or trying to understand, acting like I understand, performing like I understand, and my messaging isn't correct to their brand. So for me, I just ask now. I don't care what I look like, because I'd rather look foolish in the beginning, in a sense, than look foolish with the final product I deliver.
That is an awesome answer. And I completely agree with that route 100%. And to keep going down that road just for a couple more minutes before we get into the quick fire questions. Mm-hmm. What do you think the biggest struggle is as a young entrepreneur? Now, I just believe, like, when you're older, you have more experience and your name might carry a little more weight, or you have a larger resume to kind of show people. Mm-hmm. What do you think's tough about being 23 and getting in front of an enormous company and convincing them to run their marketing through you?
Yeah, so I'm going to kind of reverse this a little bit. So the toughest thing about that is the fact that you're letting that get into your mind. And I think that really hurt me in the beginning, is because I would approach these people and I would go in there knowing, like, you know, I have to bow down to them, like, you know, they're higher than I am, and they deserve to be treated higher than I am. And I don't have the experience to explain to them why I deserve to be treated on the same level as them. So because of that, I'm going to put myself lower. And because of that, I'm going to be a little bit more unconfident and not as strong as I'm speaking to them and as I'm trying to convince them that they should hire me. And because of that, that's already screaming failure. Because of myself already mentally putting myself under the bar of where they are, I'm already putting myself in a hole. And I think that's the hardest part about being an entrepreneur, because even if we have these thoughts, you know, that we may not have enough experience like I didn't, I know at the end of the day that I know what I'm doing. And when I was at my marketing company, when I mentioned about pay, and I wasn't paid, and when they offered me to be paid, I felt like I shouldn't have to be paid, because I didn't think I knew enough. I didn't have enough experience. It's a word on what I said. But I was no different than any other person in that room at that time. I knew just as much as information and how to execute on anything that company need on anyone in my, than anyone in my department. And I was letting myself feel this way, just like I was in the beginning. But when you know what you're doing and you know what you're doing, don't ever put yourself lower than anybody else. Age and experience is just, to me, a number, and it'll always be a number. You have to be the full extent of what you want, you know, you can offer, and never put yourself lower than that. And I think that's the biggest struggle with any young entrepreneur.
That is gold. And I want to just say something quick. I think whether you're an entrepreneur or you're an accountant, whoever you might be, you just need to understand that you provide a value add. You always provide a value add. And if someone's calling you into the office, they want you there for a reason. They want your opinion. If you're hired by a company, you're hired for a reason. They don't want you to disagree with them or anything of that nature. They actually want to know what you have to say, which is enormous. Mm-hmm.
Yep, I completely agree.
So, quick fire questions, quick. Let's do this.
And let's do it. I'm ready.
All right. So, random question. And I think you already said it earlier. Could adventure survive without your personal brand? Why or why not? And I'm going to have one follow-up off of that.
Sure. So, of course, I'm going to say it will survive. And the reason why is because I believe that if there wasn't for my personal brand, that there's something else that I can be doing to aid into adventure, much like my business partner. I mean, his personal brand on Instagram isn't as big, but he's growing on LinkedIn. But still, regardless, before he was active on LinkedIn, he was still out there making connections and bringing business to the table. So yes, I believe it would still be able to survive, but I think that it has been a huge driver into our growth. And I do think that if I was to halt it and just forget about it, that I will notice on my side of the business that my services will decrease.
Yeah, for sure. And do you think that's just something founders should do at the beginning because they need to do anything they can to kind of grow the business? And then eventually you got to figure out how to transition?
Right. So just like I said before with marketers, right, we don't want to ever, for me, I think it's not right for just because I do a service and I do a service really well that I need to tell everybody else to do that. Because maybe that's not applicable for your industry. I mean, just as you mentioned before, Bobby, you just blew me away with, you know, the information on what you've done. And, you know, you didn't even have an Instagram account and you've been able to do it without one, without a personal brand. And because of that, I don't believe that you have to have one. But I will say that if you are looking to grow exposure and be the face of your brand, if you are the face of the company, I would highly recommend for you to do that on your social media and, you know, grow that through your social, because that's how more people are going to find you. And I do think that if you aren't capitalizing on it, regardless industry or not, that you possibly may be missing out on some interesting opportunities to grow professionally and your company if you aren't seeking, you know, those certain platforms.
Awesome. What skills does a young professional need to have straight out of college?
Skills. The biggest one is be coachable. Be coachable. You are forever. I mean, I know I just talked about this thing of hierarchy, right? And never feel like someone's higher than you, but you never want to feel higher than someone else either. And, you always want to be coachable and ready to learn. Still there is incredible people that I'm so blessed to know that are, you know, millionaire, billionaires even. And even someone that I can think of in my head, he is still always seeking to be better and how to learn. He has all the money in the world, but yet he's still actively trying to be a better business person and grow himself. And because of that, I think every college student should know that just because you're out of college doesn't mean learning stops. In addition to always being open-minded, I think that a lot of times you come out of college with a certain direction of what you want to do, and you're not aren't open-minded to other things. And because of that, I think that's an opportunity loss. And one thing that I was told in college, and at first I took this almost negatively by a mentor, was that I had too much direction. And she said, you know, it's great that you have this action plan. And I told her exactly what I'm doing now. I want to have a marketing company and I want to do X, Y, and Z, and I want to market towards these people. And she said, you know, but Alicia, it's, you know, I'm great that you have direction, but you should sometimes have a gentle direction because you never know what other opportunities could happen. And to gently tap on that, I wanted to have a marketing company specifically to sports or to health, and in health, as in fitness. And right now we're not really capitalizing on either of those, and we've been growing. If I was to be close-minded and just do only that and only take clients of that, I wouldn't be able to scale and see the opportunities I do today.
Sweet. What do you believe needs to be sacrificed for success?
What I believe needs to be sacrificed for success is the biggest thing that I notice a lot of people struggle with is really noise. And this noise comes, I know I mentioned before, this noise comes from internal and external. These are the thoughts that other people have on you and what you're doing, as well as the thoughts that you have within yourself. And clearing that noise and learning to ignore the comments that are coming from other people and internally that are negative, and only listening and tapping into those that are positive, is huge. And that is really what's going to drive you at the end of the day. If you are surrounding yourself with a group of people that don't believe in what you're doing, or maybe aren't as focused as you are, you're gonna swade away and you're not gonna be as focused as you can be. Where in too internal, if you are having all these internal negative thoughts, you're never gonna be able to execute to the extent that you could. And I think that's really the factor of success, as well as, like I said, coachable and all that, but really dealing with this internal and the noise, because that's what I think makes or breaks people. And even when we started A to Z, I got a lot of that. I got a lot of that externally and so much internally. And because of that, after 1 month, I gave up.
Wow. Impressive. You know a lot for a 23-year-old.
Thank you. Thank you. I had some life experiences that I think helped make me grow up a little bit quicker than, you know, the average 23-year-old. But really, you know, I'm very happy to be where I am today. And the biggest thing is just to share anything I can just to help people.
So last question, quick. What is one life hack a student of business should apply to their life this week?
One life hack. So I actually just wrote about it in my Instagram story that I notice a lot, and especially if these are people coming out of college, we all have these wonderful ideas of a bunch of things that we want to be and we want to do, whether that's starting a business, whether that's starting five businesses, whether that's becoming a photographer and doing, you know, your own YouTube channel. But we all have a bunch of different things that we want. And I think that's really what's really big and something that you should focus on this week is having a focus and writing down everything that you dream first, everything, all these crazy things that you want to do, and prioritizing them and figuring out what is first, the first thing that I really should focus on, and giving that your all. I didn't start adventure and start, you know, doing my YouTube or, you know, speaking, all these amazing things didn't happen at once. And still, even my YouTube isn't happening because I'm still so busy. I'm not at that point right now. But, you know, I had to give adventure my focus. And I think that that's the biggest thing. It's just really focusing on one thing in the beginning and letting everything else come within time.
Beautiful. I think that is a great way to end the show. So, Alicia, thank you so much for joining us.
Of course. Thank you so much. I hope I didn't talk your ear off, everyone. I'm just super passionate about this stuff.
Well, thank you very much. We had a blast.
Yeah, no, this is awesome. Thank you.
Hey, everyone. Ryan back with you. A few quick reminders from this week's episode. First, be coachable. You always want to be coachable and ready to learn. Even the ultra successful are still actively learning and trying to improve on a daily basis. Also, be open-minded. Be open to pursuing other career paths. And finally, you need to block out and ignore the outside noise. You need to tap into all things positive. And the weekly life hack is have one focus. Write down all your major dreams and aspirations and prioritize them. Find your most important dream. Focus on that dream and give it your all.